Well, good evening. Great to see everybody tonight. Thanks for being in God's house. I just want to give credit to whom credit's due. I got the opportunity to listen to the message from Sunday, and man, that was amazing. If you'll take that and live that, it will change your life. And so would y'all just let Minister Weil and his lovely wife, Jen, know how much you love them. They are a gift from God to Marcia and I and to this congregation, and I'm so grateful to have them. Tonight, I had every intention of continuing in the sex series and talking to you about sexual healing tonight. I'm going to save that for another evening, and I just felt so strongly in my spirit to speak on what I'm about to share with you at the direction of the Holy Spirit, because I know there are those of you here tonight that need to hear what I'm about to say. And, you know, the most powerful lessons that I can teach you are the ones I'm living right now. And transparency has always been something that's extremely important for us with you, because you've got to know that we have to live this life the same way you do. I'm anointed to teach it, but it's just like you when it comes to living it. Does that make sense? And so tonight, let me share some things with you. And before we do, let's just go to the Lord in prayer, because I believe he's going to do something very special in your heart by the end of this service. And I just want to make sure we make room for that. Father, we come to you tonight in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And Lord, we believe you want to do something great in this room, in our hearts and lives. Jesus, we believe tonight that where two or three of us get together in your name, you show up in the midst of us. And so we acknowledge that you are here. We thank you that your Holy Spirit lives on the inside of every born-again believer in this room. And right now, I pray that you help us to set aside every distraction and that we would stay focused and that we would hear what you want us to hear. And Holy Spirit, that you would make room in our hearts for the deposit of the incorruptible seed that you're about to make. And Father, I pray for those who are here tonight that are hurting and that are struggling and that have been wounded by loss. I pray tonight in the name of Jesus that there would be a peace and a release and a healing that comes over them greater than anything they've ever experienced, and that no one leaves this room tonight without feeling like they've encountered you in a very real and a very special way. And Father, we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Do me a favor and look at your neighbor and tell him your comeback is on the way. Your comeback is on the way. We've been talking about that this month. Beginning on Easter, how your setbacks are really God's setups for an amazing comeback. And I'm going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 1. If you have a Bible, you can go there. If not, feel free to follow along with us on the screens. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, to everything there is a what? To everything. To how many things? Okay. So there is a principle here that God gives us that is critical to you walking in victory every day of your life. And it's very simply this: to understand that everything in your life is seasonal. To everything, there is a season. A time. Somebody say a time. A time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. You know, dying can be just as beautiful as being born. I know y'all aren't buying yet. I got three people who believe it. To everything, there's a season. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up what's planted, or harvest, in other words. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, obviously, 10 days ago, my father-in-law, Farron Benford, passed away after being diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer just 10 weeks earlier. And I want to kind of talk to you about some of that and the process we've been going through, because I believe that transparency will help you. And understand that as I open a door into our lives, I'm trusting you to be delicate with us, and especially my wife and my mother-in-law and Marcia's brother and sister, in a time that's very difficult for them. But I'm sharing this with you because I know there's somebody in here tonight that it will help tremendously. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Number one, for the outpouring of love and support that we have felt and seen from this church. It has been overwhelming. The cards, the food, the flowers, the emails, the text. I mean, just bombarded with wonderful letters in a time that is so devastating to share how much he meant to you and what he meant to you and what he did in your life has been so healing and helped and strengthened and bolstered this family. And so from the bottom of my heart and on behalf of this family, I want to say thank you. Can we just give God praise that we're family and that love is real here? And I just want to say that my goodness, Wendy, on that peach upside down cake, good grief, she made a whole sheet of it, and I gave Sally a little tiny piece and I ate the rest of it by myself. So anyway, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, and I want to walk you through some stuff, and I don't want you to check out on me tonight because I'm talking about death, and you think, well, I haven't lost anybody, and I'm not about to lose anybody. All of us have experienced loss. That's the point tonight. And all of us will go through times of loss. Has anybody ever experienced loss? Right? Every person in this room. And the Bible says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know, we want you to know something, what will happen to believers who have died so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. The Bible doesn't say, as a believer, you don't grieve. The Bible says, we don't grieve like the world. Just like the Bible says, be angry but don't sin. The Bible didn't say you wouldn't get angry. It said you can do it without sinning in your anger. The Bible didn't say you're not going to have grief. The Bible said you're going to grieve differently. We grieve differently. And the reality is we know where Theron is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Praise God. That's wonderful. That's the ultimate. He rang the bell. The Bible says in Psalms that we get 70 years. Some people get even 80. If you go on past that, I'm just a firm believer that anything over 80 is a gift every single day. Amen? And so he was almost 77 years old. We praise God for all that. But the reality is, his departure has been devastating to his family because of the impartation he made into their lives and the relationship they had. And this is something that is so foreign to me because I never had this with my father. And so I've watched Marcia go through this, and I've watched the tears that she has shed. And it's been the most awful and the beautiful thing I've ever witnessed all at once. Awful because the height of their love can be seen in the depths of their sorrow. Beautiful because having a bond with a father this strong is completely foreign to me. Again, I wouldn't shed a tear if my father passed away tomorrow. Not because there's bitterness in me, but because there's been no relationship and no impartation. And so there's nothing for me to miss. I've done my life in his absence. Does that make sense to y'all? However, this man was a father. This man was a husband. Sally married him just a few months after graduating from high school, and they've been together 50-some-odd years. Marcia had a dad who, he is the reason why she is who she is today. He taught her how to play basketball. He instilled the heart of God and the character of God in her. He's a man who knew the Bible better than anybody I know. He knew the Bible better than I do. He's a guy who spent more time in God's Word than anybody I've ever been around in my entire life. He's a guy who walked in a strong anointing simply because the amount of God's word he had on the inside of him. If he ever prayed for you, you know the power that was represented there. But the reality is, although we know where he is right now, and thank God he's in the presence of the Lord, a chapter has come to a close in Sally's life and in Marcia's life that can never be replaced here on this earth. Do y'all understand what I'm telling you today? So even though we're happy he's with Jesus, there is a sorrow and a sadness from the loss that takes place here on earth. And the reality is all of us are going to go through loss in our life. At some point, you're going to lose something that was meaningful to you. And so my point tonight is back to where we started. To everything, there is a season. And so what I told Marcia a while back here was, I said, babe, your only job in this season is to just be sad. And some of y'all might look at me like that's kind of strange, you know, that seems kind of odd. But her only job right now, their only job is to mourn. To everything, there's a season. There is a time for mourning, and there is a time for laughing. In other words, there is a season to mourn. And I told her, babe, I just want you to cry until you find that final tear that has purged the sorrow from your soul and washed away the pain. Because that tear will come. And in your life, it's going to be the same way. And so tonight, here's what I want to share with you. I want to tell you why crying is critical to your comeback. Because we serve a God who is able to take your setback and turn it into a comeback. But this is a part of the process. And here's the first point I want to give you tonight. Number one, I want to tell you that loss is painful. As if you didn't already know that. Loss is painful. Loss hurts. And it's painful because something mattered to us. And no matter how strong your faith in God is, no matter how close to God you walk, there is a sadness, there is a sorrow, there is a grief that comes when we experience loss. And again, do not limit this tonight to deaths that you experience. I'm talking about a death in a relationship. I'm talking about a death in your finances. I'm talking about a death in your career. I'm talking about a death in a hope or a dream you had, or a death in something going on with one of your kids and you didn't see it come to pass. And I meet parents experiencing the pain of separation and sorrow from their children, and their children are still alive. But there is a sadness and a sorrow that comes when we experience loss. The Bible says in John chapter 11, verse 35 and 6, about Jesus, when Lazarus, his friend, died, it says Jesus, what? He wept. What did Jesus do? So is weeping godly? Did Jesus weep? Okay, so if I weep, I can be like Jesus? Even in my weeping. It says Jesus wept, but watch what they said. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And there's a principle here that I want you to see, and it's simply this, that the way we weep shows how much we love. The way we weep shows how much we cared. The way we weep shows how much something mattered to us, which tells me the more we love someone or something, the more something matters to me, the more I care about something, Miss Kathy, then the more painful it's going to be when I experience the loss of that thing in my life. And some of you here tonight are still hurting from the loss of something you love. And you're still hurting from the loss of someone you cared about. You're still hurting from the loss of something that mattered to you. And we grieve because we love. This is the price tag that comes with loving. And I would rather be a lover and a person who is passionate about the people I do life with and fall in love with them headlong and wholeheartedly and be destroyed by pain whenever I lose them in my life, whether they're living or they're dead, than I would to be a person who's so guarded that I'm backed off and backed away from everything, protecting myself because I don't ever want to be disappointed. Are you with me tonight? So grief is the price of love. One of the moms from the attacks of 9/11 who lost her daughter, she said, grief is not the absence of faith, it's the price of love. Grief is not the absence of faith, it is the price of love. Well, love is the essential ingredient that God has called every one of us to as born again believers. Somebody say, loss is painful. And so we see the pain that Jesus went through when he lost his best friend, Lazarus. I think about Matthew chapter 26, verse 75. And it's the story of Peter when he denied Jesus. Peter's fallen in love with Jesus for 3.5 years. And they've lived together, they've walked together, they've grown together, done amazing things together. And the Bible says, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who said to him, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. So he went out and what? He wept bitterly. Why? Because Peter had experienced loss. His loss was a failure. His loss was what he perceived to be letting Jesus down. How many of you ever let somebody down? You know how painful that can be. And we grieve that. All of us have. I think about Luke chapter 19, verse 41 and 42. It says, but as they came closer to Jerusalem and Jesus saw the city ahead, he began to what? Weep. And he says, how I wish today that you of all people would understand the way of peace, but now it's too late and peace is hidden from your eyes. He was weeping over God's chosen people, the Jews. He was weeping over the loss that they didn't receive him when that's who he came for first. I think about Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, "For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes." He's weeping as he's writing this letter. He said that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. These were people Paul knew. These were people Paul may have even led to Jesus, but their lifestyle is denying that they even know Christ. And Paul is weeping over them, and he's experiencing the pain of that loss because these believers have fallen away from Christ. I think about Esau, who sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. And the Bible says he wept when he realized he had given away his inheritance and he had lost it. I think about David when he wept over the death of his firstborn son after 7 days of fasting and praying for the first baby he had with Bathsheba. I think about Jesus as he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7 says that before he went to the cross, he cried out to God the Father. He cried out with tremendous tears and wailing and pled with the Father that this would pass from him because he knew the loss he was about to go through and experience physically. And so we understand then that there is a pain that comes with loss. Can you say amen? But the second thing you've got to understand tonight is very simply this. Number two, it's okay to cry. And here's what I've learned. I've learned that it's not the deep things that we need to grab hold of that are going to produce victory in our life. I've learned that it's the application of the simple day in and day out that produces victory in my life and in your life. That's what true depth is all about. The Bible's really not rocket science. I was talking with a great friend in the last week who had come in, and they began to share with me. They've started coming to the church this year, and they began to share with me how one Sunday morning I said to them, they were living far from God, and all I said was, "God loves you." And it just shattered them, and it broke away that callous, and it broke away the pain in their life, and their heart opened up, and the love of God could flood in and begin to restore and revive and rebuild them into the person of beauty and wonder that He created them to be. Something as simple that we take for granted is hearing God loves you, and yet there's somebody who needed to hear that hasn't heard that for 30 years and needed to be reminded that they have a Father in heaven who cares enough about them to send His Son, and He loves them as much as He loves Jesus, and they're worth the blood of Jesus Christ, and it restores value in their heart and their eyes, and they're able to just be themselves and let God come in and do an amazing work in their life. Can you say amen? Amen. And so the reality is, something as simple as that is just like this point. It's okay to cry. Sometimes we need people to remind us of that and tell us and reassure us that, look, you don't have to rush into anything else. You don't have to try and fix it right now. You don't have to cover up the pain. You don't have to run from it. If you go to something else and try to cover it up with busyness and activity or alcohol or drugs or sex or whatever it might be that you bury yourself into, you can numb it for a minute, but it's not going to go away. It's going to be there waiting on you when that high wears off, looking you in the face every time you look into the mirror. And so what we need to hear is somebody say, it's okay to confront it head on, to stop trying to hold it in, to stop trying to hold it back, to stop trying to choke it down. I told Marcia, baby, just sit there and cry and cry and cry and don't hold it back and be real and be yourself and be genuine. And whatever anybody says, you don't have to put on a face for anybody. It's your season to be sad, and that's okay. And people need to hear that. It's okay, because to everything there's a season. There's a season to mourn, Psalm 42:3. David said, my tears have been my food day and night. In other words, they're constantly there with me. I'm crying all the time, Donnie. It's always there with me. And so your comeback begins whenever we take this step and we allow ourselves to mourn and grieve that loss. But sadness is not a lack of faith or a lack of maturity. And some people have been taught or raised that you can't cry. Crying is weakness. Real men don't cry. Anybody ever heard that? That's what I love about Man Day. This place is packed with the manliest men you can find. They're all blubbering like babies. I love you too, Jesus. Men in love with a man. Real men do cry. Real men are confident enough to show their emotion. That's all right. Y'all get this in a minute here. What's that? They wear pink too. Yeah, just for the record, Marcia don't dress me. So when I wear pink, I picked it. Crying's for babies. You got to remain strong. You got to be stoic. Stoic means never show emotion. And the reality is that's crazy. It's not right to be stoic. Stoic is to suppress our emotions. It's not right to be overly emotional either, because then it's emotions for emotion's sake. God gave you emotions. To be emotional is to be godly. Don't deny who God made you to be. Part of having emotions is so that you can experience the world around you, and that includes happiness and sadness. It includes joy and it includes mourning. And so I let emotions in the car, I just don't let them in the driver's seat. Okay? Crying is not a sign of weakness. Faith cannot remove the sadness and the emptiness and the ache we feel when we experience a loss. But many times I'm around people and they feel like this internal conflict in their soul that creates condemnation. And it's like, well, I shouldn't be this way. I shouldn't feel this way. I should just be happy about this situation or whatever it might be. I should be farther along than this or what, you fill in the blank there. But the reality is crying is godly. Somebody say it's okay to cry. The third thing you need to know tonight is simply this. Your tears are pouring the foundation for a healthy comeback. When you pour a foundation, Chris owns Christian Carpentry, does an amazing job. But when I lived in Oklahoma, you build houses out there on slabs. Now, y'all can't do that, I assume, because of frost and you pour footers and all that. In Oklahoma, everything's on a slab. That's why when a tornado hits, all it's left is a slab. It wipes it clean, you start over. But the reality is you go in with concrete and you pour that whole slab. And so your tears are literally pouring the foundation for a healthy comeback. Somebody say healthy comeback. And the reason why I roped you into this, Chris, is because are you in the construction or destruction business? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Construction. Well, sometimes that might include a little bit of destruction, but most of your customers would tell everybody happily that you are in the construction business. And so grieving is constructive, it's not destructive. Grief is the healthiest way to deal with loss. And I want to show you tonight that crying is healthy when you're going through a loss. Matthew chapter 5 verse 4 says, blessed, somebody say blessed. Blessed are those who, what? Mourn, for they shall be comforted. So there is a blessing in mourning. And I want to give you a natural blessing, because sometimes we don't think about this. We think about everything in terms of spirituality once we get saved. And the reality is we live in a natural world. God gave us things you can see to help you understand the things you can't see. And I want to give you 7 benefits of crying. This is scientifically based. Number one, tears help us to see. They actually lubricate your eyes. In other words, tears are what makes vision possible. Tears make vision possible. Number two, tears kill bacteria. It actually washes your eyes and cleans them out with an antibiotic solution. Well, the reality is there are things that collect in our soul, bacteria in our soul, soul clutter, soul pollution, that tears have a way of purging from us. Number three, tears remove toxins. They actually carry them away. Number four, crying can elevate your mood. Did you know that? You might be sad while you're crying, but if y'all ever had a really good cry and then after it's over, you feel like you weigh less, you feel better. There's actually something about you that feels kind of fresh and clean. Am I talking to anybody? Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's a fact. The fifth one is crying lowers stress. Some of y'all burst into tears right now. Crying actually lowers stress because of what it does to the chemicals in your body and what it actually carries away. Do you know that there is a difference in the type of tears you cry? There is a chemical difference in tears you cry from irritation when something gets in your eye and your eyes tear up. There is a difference in the chemical components in your tears whenever it comes from an irritation of something in your eye or when it's produced from deep emotions on the inside of you. It's actually carrying those negative toxins away from your body. Number six, tears build community. Because when we see people cry, we normally don't run from them, we run to them, right? And number seven, tears release feelings. Tears are a physical expression of our emotions, and God has given you the ability to cry as a way to purge those negative emotions and experience a release of healing and cleansing in your soul. And that's why crying is critical to your comeback, because it's a blow-off valve for our emotions when we're overwhelmed. Now, hear what I'm about to say to you. There is a danger to moving on without properly grieving a loss. Like I said, if you choke it down and choke it back and cover it up and try to bury yourself in something else, it's still there. And it's going to come out. It may not come out in the form of tears, but it will come out in another area of your life. I have an aunt. Her name's Aunt Patricia. Y'all know her husband, my Uncle Bill. My grandfather died when she was 38, and then my grandmother passed a few years ago. And so my aunt had carried a lot of this inside of her that she never let out. Well, all of a sudden, she developed a twitch or a tick where she would blink her eyes constantly to the point where she almost couldn't even drive. And after going to one doctor after another, she finally figured out with one of the psychologists that it was the result of all this pent-up on the inside that she had never properly dealt with. And so he told her, I want you to go home and just cry. And I want you to cry, and I want you to cry, and I want you to cry until you feel like you can't cry anymore. And she began to purge that, and she began to cry, realizing I had never mourned and grieved over the things I had experienced loss from in my life. And it began to produce a reprieve and a release on the inside of her with a healing power there. Amen? Y'all see how important it is that we take time to grieve a loss so that we don't carry those things on the inside of us. Would you give God praise that you can be free tonight from grief? Number four, your Father in heaven treasures your tears. Your Father in heaven treasures your tears. Psalm chapter 56, verse 8 says, you keep track of all my sorrows, talking about God. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You've recorded each one in your book. You know, my babies, Anna and Zoe, I treasure the tears they cry. When they're crying, I hold them in my arms, and I take my thumb, and I wipe that big alligator tear off their cheek, and I'll give them a kiss, and I can taste that salt in my mouth. And I treasure the tears of my babies. They are priceless to me. They are precious to me, and they're important to me. And I draw near to them when they cry. And I want to tell you that you have a Father in heaven that if we do that as loving parents with our kids, he does not allow us to cry alone. He's right there with you, and he sees you, and he tastes your tears, and he is wiping them away, and he is there to comfort them and to keep us and to bring that strength that we need. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. And look at what he calls him, the God of all what? Comfort. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all what? Comfort. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. How much of our tribulation does he comfort us in? So if you're going through trouble right now, if you're troubled in your soul about a situation, I was talking to someone before church that is troubled in their soul about decades of a situation in their life. I want to tell you that the Word of God says he is comforting you right now in that trouble. And here's why, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. In other words, comforted people comfort people. Changed lives, what? Changed lives. Comforted people, comfort people. And the fifth and last thing I need you to know tonight is very simply this, is number five, change is on the way. Change is on the way. And I want to show this to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, again, this is where we began. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And here's what we know about seasons. We know that seasons have a beginning and seasons have an end. Is that right? Right? Seasons come and seasons go. Seasons change. Seasons don't last forever, except this winter. It's April 11th. What in the world? I'm wondering if I'm going to have church tonight because it's snowing like crazy at noon. Y'all, thank you. Prophesy, brother. There will be a time to dance. Come on, just prophesy. 85 and sunny. The sun shines like 3 weeks in Pennsylvania. I can tell you when it is, too. It's the car show, the picnic, hallelujah night. Other than that, lights out. Somebody say, change is on the way. What that scripture tells us is your grief is temporary because seasons have a beginning and seasons have an end. And it's time that must pass. God has ordained a start and God has ordained a close. Psalm 30 verse 5. Here's your second one to back this up. Let everything be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. We don't build a doctrine off one obscure verse. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in what? Well, how many of you have ever been through a night that morning didn't show up? Nobody. Every single day, the sun rises without fail. Every single day, the sun sets without fail. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes. Joy comes. Joy comes. And I came here tonight to tell somebody that joy is coming, and it's just a matter of time before night is replaced by light. And night in the Bible always comes before light. A Jewish day is evening to evening, not like an American day. I want you to think about the way God created. Genesis chapter 1 verse 5 says the evening and the morning were the first day. Which one did God pick to be first? We think it's when we wake up. No. God said the evening and then the morning. Why is that important? Why does God say that? Very simply because no matter how dark it may seem in your life right now, light will always have the last word. And so if my life is but a vapor, and if my life is the equivalent of nothing more than a day, then what began in the darkness is going to be finished in the light. What began in sin is going to be finished in righteousness. What began in defeat, Dean, is going to be finished in victory. What began in bondage is going to be finished in freedom. Hallelujah. And that's what we have got to embrace and to understand. Let me give you a third one to back this up. Actually, it's a fourth one. Luke chapter 6, verse 21. God blesses you who weep now. God blesses you who weep now. For in due time, you will laugh. Somebody say, I will laugh. Come on, say it again. I will laugh. Let's say it again. I will laugh. You're going to laugh again. And when we mourn God's way, He promises us that our comeback is on the way. In other words, it's already been assigned on His calendar. Your appointment with hope has already been scheduled. Your appointment with happiness has already been scheduled. Your appointment with joy and favor and strength and life and the sun shining on you again and better days again and feeling like you can lift your head again has already been scheduled. It's only a matter of time. Seasons come and go. Your sadness is coming to a close. I don't know what day it'll be. I don't know what number tear it'll be, but I know that every tear you cry and every day you live is one here, and one day closer you are to that day, it begins to happen on the inside of you again. The season is coming to a close. So I want you to stand with me tonight. This is my final scripture. It says this, Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. How many things does He make beautiful in its time? How many things? How many of you have something that's happened to you in your life that is causing you pain? Just wave at me. He's able to take that thing and in time make it beautiful. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And so our job, church, is to see the beauty in every season, even in the sorrow. Our job is to learn to see God at work and find God at work, Miss Marlene, in every single season. Our job is to appreciate this season of my life instead of saying I'm going to wait on a better season, and learn to understand that, you know, I am where I am, but God is who He is. And He's a good God, no matter what I face. And I will rejoice in the Lord always. And even though I may not understand why I am where I am, I refuse to watch my life pass me by. And I'm going to embrace and enjoy and appreciate every season of my life for what it is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed in this room, I want to ask you a very real question. And I've been transparent with you tonight, and I want to ask you to be transparent with me, because that's where healing comes. The Bible says if we confess our faults or our weaknesses to one another, that God will make us whole. And I believe that's what He wants to do in this room. I believe there are those of you here tonight, and those that will be listening by way of radio or the app or CD, that have experienced loss, and you're dealing with the pain, and you're still carrying that pain inside of you. You're still grieving that thing. Maybe you've bottled it up and you've suppressed it, but you know it's still there. I want to ask you, if that's you tonight, you'd be honest and you say, Josh, I'm dealing with that. Would you raise your hand? If you've raised your hand tonight, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to come down front here and line up, and I want to pray with you. And I want to lay my hands on you. Very simply, because there's an impartation that comes through the laying on of hands. And I want to tell you exactly what I'm believing God to do in your life tonight. My prayer for you and my hope for you is very simply this. Number one, that with the passing of time, that your pain will be replaced by a deep appreciation and gratitude for what you had, not what you lost. Number two, my prayer for you tonight is that everything you are currently experiencing is going to be eclipsed by the understanding that your life is seasonal, and seasons come and seasons are going to go. Number three, that your pain tonight will be replaced by God's peace, and that His peace will give you a release on the inside of you, a peace that passes all understanding. And it's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen over time. And I believe today will begin a day that you're going to see a marked difference in your life. And finally, I'm believing that through the grieving process, I want everybody to say process. Through the grieving process, we don't like process, we like microwaves. Through the grieving process, you are going to get to know the God you serve greater than you could have ever imagined. Because He's going to show up in your pain. And through knowing Him, you're going to grow in Him. And I would like to ask this of everyone that's left in their seats. If you're willing, I would like you to come down and fill in behind these. I'd like one person behind everybody. If you would just come on down and fill in behind them. The Bible says we laugh with those who laugh and we mourn with those who mourn. And I don't want anybody to be alone. Father, everything that I just said was the cry of my heart. I ask that you begin to do right now. As I lay my hands on each one, Father, I pray for that release of your peace that would wash away the pain. And Father, I pray that beginning this night, there would be a fresh and a clean slate and a purging of their soul. God, as tears flow from their face, I thank you that it carries the toxins away. I thank you that there would be a fearlessness and a bravery and a courage about them greater than ever before to be real, to be genuine, and to be authentic. I thank you that they've already taken a step and come down here, and it's proven their desire. Now, God, show up in a big way for them in Jesus' name. And I'm going to begin coming down the line and laying hands on you and praying for you. And I want you to expect God to do something in your life and in your heart. I want everybody to look at me. I want you to say, how many of you believe God did something in your heart tonight? We took His word, then we acted on His word. That's putting our faith to work. We give God something to work with. And tonight you received an impartation of His peace that's going to produce a release on the inside of you. I want everybody to say this. My next season is on the way. I'm about to step into it. And it will be the greatest season
of my life. Not because I say it, but because God's word said it.
Yes.
My path is like the rising of the sun. Tomorrow will be better than today. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus.
Can we give God praise that that's true tonight?
Yeah! Woo!
Father, we thank you for what you've done in this room. We thank you for what you've done in our hearts. Seal it and let us not doubt in the dark what you showed us in the light tonight. As we walk out of here tonight, God, I thank you that it marks the beginning of a new moment for us. I thank you that our life is lived forward and not backward. And Father, I thank you that right now you will confirm every day in the hearts and lives of every person that called upon you tonight, how close you are to them. We give you thanks and we give you praise now that victory is ours and the glory is yours. Father, send us to somebody who needs to be comforted and help us to comfort them with the same words and the same comfort we received from you tonight. And Father, we give you thanks now. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, one more time, can we give him the ovation of the evening? Amen. Amen. I love y'all. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. I'll be down front if you need me for a few minutes here. And I can't wait to see you Sunday. Bring a Bible and bring a friend with you.